Congratulations. You found it.
You know what time it is.
This is New York Game Day. It's 3 hours of the most informative and entertaining NFL news in the league.
Welcome in. Week one. It is New York Game Day. We're going to be with you all season long, kicking off at 8 a.m. Phone lines are open, 800-919-3776, and we're excited to announce Mathias Kiwanuka, former Giants great, Super Bowl winner, joins us this season as part of our New York Game Day team. Mathias, welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. Thank you for having me. Thank you for bringing me back into football. It feels good to be here up in the studio.
This is awesome. This is awesome. And folks might not be aware of this. I worked for the football Giants, the New York football Giants, for quite a while. Anywhere between 6 to 7 years. It's been a while now. I forgot. So Mathias was there when I was there. And so I got to know you very well, you know, interviewed you quite frequently. If you recall, my office was in your lunchroom. So I always, yeah. Do you remember? I always sat in that back table
because I
didn't have an office. So that was my office, and it was great because you guys would come in and I had a chance to see you guys and say hi and get some good information from you guys whenever we would talk shop. So,
but that's how you get the real beat on the team. Like when you're sitting around and you get to see guys in their natural environment without, you know, their mask on, like they're doing an interview. That's how you get the true story.
And here's another one for you. So folks don't know this because they haven't been out to the Giants facility, but the entire cafeteria where you sit and you eat is all windows. So I was able to sit there when the media had to go and they had to go back in the back room and they couldn't watch what you guys were doing, what you were game planning for. I sat there at my, I had a bird's eye view. Sat there and I was able to see kind of, you know, what you guys were doing at practice. And I had really insider information regard to, you know, what game plan you guys were working on. It was fantastic. But nonetheless, it's great to be reconnected with you. It really is. And just one last thing I want to share with listeners. So when you guys won the Super Bowl, if you recall, you guys had your parade through downtown New York City. Mm-hmm. And part of the New York, the Giants broadcast team, I got to cover that. It was, Mathias, it was probably my favorite day of my entire professional career. I was on your float. I don't know if you recall that. I was positioned on your float with Tuck.
It's a little bit of a haze, but I do remember it. Yeah, it was great.
And I mean, it was really, really unbelievable. And then to finish that parade and walk into the Giants Stadium on a Tuesday night, jam-packed Super Bowl trophy. There must have been 50,000 people that showed up that night. It was really, really unbelievable. So I just feel that I share a very special day with you, and I lived vicariously through you because I didn't do anything to win the Super Bowl, but you did. So I thank you for that, my friend. All right. Let's dive into it and let's start with the Jets. Cause I think the Jets Carolina Panthers game, the storyline there is so rich and so thick, and God bless the NFL for giving us this scenario and in this storyline in week one. And really I'm stating the obvious, goodbye, Sam Darnold. We sold you a bag of lemons while you were here. Don't let the door hit you on the behind on your way out. He goes to Carolina. I think it's a much better situation for him in Carolina. Offensive coordinator, head coach. I'm sure you were with the Giants when Matt Rhule came and had a cup of coffee with us, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I love Matt Rhule, by the way. One of my favorite head coaches in the NFL. And then he's behind a better offensive line. He's got a plethora of weapons. They're all fast. So I think it works out for him. And also I think it works out for the Jets as well. New regime. I love Robert Saleh. Excited for this organization, where they're headed. And there is no ceiling for Zach Wilson, right? Like, unbelievably athletic. Even Tony Romo came out and just said the most amazing things about him. But it's a marathon. It's not a sprint for this Jets organization. With that being said, how do you think this storyline plays out this afternoon in Carolina, Kiwi?
So there's a couple of things when I'm thinking about this game. I mean, number one, Sam Darnold is going to be out for blood. I mean, I know what they're saying. I understand that they're supposed to say the right things. Oh, you know, this is not a get-back game. This is not, but that's BS. I'll be completely honest with you. I played on teams, and there were guys who would come in, and they were on practice squad from a team that had just let them go, and they would linger around the building. They would walk around and try to get us all hyped up and amped up because everybody wants to beat that team that just let them go or that they just came from. I mean, there's barely any times where it's a good situation where a guy is going back to play his former team and he doesn't want something to happen. And, you know, when you have that energy, that fire in your belly, you know, all during the week, it fires everybody up. You know what I mean? Like they say, it's a brotherhood, and it really is. Like when you're out there on the field, if your brother is fighting, if your brother is hungry and he wants to win, like you want to win for him. You want to kill somebody for him. And so I think what we're going to see is, has Sam had an opportunity to get in and ingratiate himself and to build a relationship with the rest of those guys down there? Are they playing for him yet? Because if they are, if they're bought in, if they're sold, if he's a leader in that organization right now, when I tell you they're going to come out firing and ready to go, like that's really the only storyline that I'm paying attention to, is he's coming back. He's going against his former team. And is his team going to rally around him? Because when we had situations like that, I mean, thinking about a guy you know, Chris Canty going back to Dallas. I mean, this guy, the look in his eyes when we were going getting ready to play against that, I mean, it was like a man on fire. And that fires everybody up. I mean, he's the first one in the meeting room. He's the last one to leave. He's angry if somebody misses a play during practice. And that kind of stuff gets you really jacked up. And so that's what I'm expecting to see out there. And then also special teams play. I know Chase Blackburn is down there in Carolina, and he does a really good job with special teams. So I think that's going to be, you know, one of the factors that goes into this game also. But yeah, Salah has that fire. You know, he's got that passion. He's got those guys riled up and ready to go. But, you know, I think it's going to be a battle, a test of wills. You know, you're going to see guys out there flying around and trying to take heads off.
It's interesting. I had Rich Cimini on my show over the week, and we're going to hear from Rich Cimini in the 9 o'clock hour. By the way, Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants, is going to join us in about 15 minutes as well. But the Jets defense, Kiwi, rookies, both the Mike and the Will, middle linebacker, weak side linebacker, both rookies, and both starting corners are rookies. You know, again, this is a marathon. This isn't a sprint. I just think the stars are going to align really properly for Sam Darnold today to really have a monster game and a big game against that Jets defense. I want to listen in. Ty's producing the show, by the way. Ty, if you can, play that clip with Zach Wilson talking about his expectations and you know, what we can expect from him today against Carolina.
That's definitely not something I think about. You know, he's doing his own thing now. You know, he's got a great situation going for him. It's not, you know, I think the organization, you know, already decided to go one way, and it's not because Sam's not a good football player. It's just, you know, they wanted a fresh start, and so I'm happy for him, and it's a new situation for me. So that's not even something that crosses my mind. It's just, how can I just, you know, continually get better every single day, you know, prepare to do the right things on Sunday, and, you know, how can I help our team win football games?
So that is Zach Wilson. Are you buying that?
He's young. You know, I mean, I'll take everybody at their face, you know, and buy a little bit of what they're saying. I don't think he's paying attention to it so much. I think he's got a lot on his plate, and he's got a lot of other things to consider and to worry about, to start thinking about things like that. I think as you get a little older, you have, you know, other things that can kind of come in without distracting you, and you can pay attention to it. But I don't think he's right. I think, you know, Darnold's going to come out and ready to go.
We'll see what happens. 800-919-3776. But really, that is the big storyline. And another thing, Kiwi, you know, what I'm worried about is in the calls that I've received and other shows that I'm hosting is, you know, Jets fans are, they're putting so much emphasis on this game. Like I'm worried if Zach Wilson has a rough go at it. Because here's another thing, I know that a little bit later on the show, we've got a new segment called Kiwi Keys, and he's going to break down the defensive line for in both these games for both these teams. But you know, I think a lot of people are sleeping on this Carolina Panthers defense. I'm not saying that they're top five, but I definitely would put them in the top 15. And Sam Darnold comes out and has a monster day. I could just see the airwaves on Monday morning. Why'd we trade Sam Darnold? Look at him. Oh, it's all Adam Gase's fault. It's all the Jets' fault. Da-da-da-da. Like, I just think that there's going to be a knee-jerk reaction in maybe in not the best way if, of course, that's how the scenario plays out. So he's got some good guys.
He's got some big names in his corner. I mean, you got Tony Romo and Aaron Rodgers coming out saying positive things about him. I think you got to remember, there was a time not too long ago when young quarterbacks weren't even expected to play for a couple years in this league. You know, like we're so used to throwing guys out there to the wolves nowadays that, you know, we forget that playing quarterback in the NFL is not something you just pick up overnight. You know, leading a group of men, some guys are in their 30s who have been playing for years. That's not something that you just pick up overnight. So to put a lot of emphasis on this game, I mean, that's great. I get it. I understand it. It's the NFL. It's week one. We are ready to go. It's been a long time since we've had football and everybody's paying attention and nobody's tired of it yet. You know, like we have what we have, but this is a game. It's one game. It's one game on the schedule, and we got to let it play out and see how it goes.
Again, he's Matthias Kiwanuka, new member of our New York Game Day team. But we're switching teams. We're switching games now. We're going to talk about the Giants when we get back. They're getting ready to take on the Denver Broncos. Boy, is this going to be a juggernaut? Two good defenses going at it this afternoon. 4:25 is kickoff.
This is New York Game Day on 98.7 ESPN.
Everybody's reporting that Saquon Barkley is going to be active. How attractive is he going to be? I still believe he's going to be on a pitch count. Again, Matthias Kiwanuka joins us. New York Game Day 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Bud Light. When it's game day is a go, there's Bud Light there. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the New York Jets. So in Kiwi, obviously, you know this better than I, right? Like, you know, he's been limited at practice, hasn't had a lot of contact, he's 10 months plus a few days off. And it wasn't just ACL, Matthias. It was ACL, MCL, meniscus. In fact, they couldn't do the surgery fast enough because they needed other areas of that knee to heal. I just think he's going to be on a pitch count. Also, I shared this earlier. This is an interesting little nugget for folks. So when Adrian Peterson returned after his ACL, his first game back, he only played 32 snaps. Jamal Charles, same situation, 29 snaps game one. I just think, I do believe he's going to be active. I think we're going to see a lot more Devontae Booker than we will see Saquon Barkley, but I'm curious to get your thoughts. What do you anticipate for Saquon today?
Yeah, I think he's going to be active. He needs to be active. And he's got to be put on a pitch count. There's going to be somebody on, I've been in that building. I've been on those sidelines. There's going to be somebody on the sidelines dedicated to watching him, watching how he moves in and out of the huddle, watching how he gets off the ground. And they're going to communicate with each other about whether or not he's good to keep going or whether he needs to be pulled back a little bit. The problem with players at that position, there's certain positions, you know, defensive linemen, running backs, like we're just wired in a certain kind of way. Like we go for contact. Like he's not going to pull himself back the same way that, you know, maybe a soft tissue injury with a corner might, you know, like they understand their bodies a little bit more. They're not out there trying to take heads off and grind. So he needs to be watched. He needs to be monitored. He needs somebody who's going to tap on his shoulder and tell him, hey, it's time to go. We don't know yet. That's the bottom line. We don't know how he looks. Like, is he going to be like Dak Prescott came out? Like when you watch Dak come out, like he basically, it looked like he knew he was fine a while ago, and he just wanted to show us. Like, he was ready and waiting to show us that he was okay. I'm hoping that that's the case with Saquon. I hope he gets out there, and from warm-up to the end of the game, there's no issues. But the reality is these are two different injuries. You're talking about a knee injury, like you said, and it was a complex knee injury with multiple ligaments and damage that you said needed time to heal before they could do the surgery. Yes, surgery has progressed, and yes, you know, technology has progressed, so there's hope there. But at that position and that injury, as significant as it was, we have to be realistic. Like, he's probably not going to be the same guy that he always has been. But the potential is there. He needs to be watched. He's not going to be, he should not be responsible, and he won't be responsible for pulling himself out.
You know, it's also important that that listeners understand, you know, there are technical devices that will be placed on Saquon Barkley where the team will be able to cipher, you know, how his body is reacting and the technology and how advanced it is. And I know you know this, Kiwi, like, how like a player in a game so much that they can assess and the Giants medical staff is probably one of the most conservative in all of the NFL. So again, I think he's going to be on a pitch count. I think we'll see a lot more of Devontae Booker today. And the way you beat the Denver Broncos, and again, I know we're going to get into this a little bit later on in the show, is running through their interior defensive line. So I'm really anticipating a bigger day for Devontae Booker, and they're going to need him, I believe, more so than Saquon Barkley. But one more topic I want to talk about before we bring in Jordan Renan, and that is Daniel Jones, right? 11th hour towards the end of the training camp, Giants wheeling and dealing, bringing in guys, trading guys, because offensive line isn't what it needs to be. And there's so much pressure right now on Daniel Jones. This has to be the year. He has to show out. They bring in Galladay. They draft Kadarius Toney. Galladay's dealing with a hamstring issue. Now, who knows? Like, we haven't seen him. Chances are he's 100%. He shows up today and he balls out. Now, it's going to be tough. Denver's secondary. They drafted Patrick Surtain. They're tough. Kadarius Toney dealing with the after effects. Some young guys out there who weren't vaccinated got COVID and they're dealing with the after effects. You know, he's having some respiratory issues. You know, is he going to be able to play a series and have to take a series off? Only time will tell. We'll find out. But, you know, what don't you think these are really hefty expectations for Daniel Jones with so many question marks across the board on this offense?
So I did a show, a little spot on, I think it was the Michael K show, and he asked me, you know, is this time to make a decision about Daniel Jones? Is this a make or break year? And I kind of beat around the bush a little bit. And, you know, I want to, you know, really, I took a step back after I did that interview and I was thinking about it. I was like, what have we evaluated on Daniel Jones? Like, what do we have to look at? He plays behind an offensive line that right now is ranked 32nd. He was a sixth overall pick. And so he comes into the league with all these great expectations. He has the physical abilities. He has the skill set. He has the mental capacity to do it. But all he's known is a porous line that has set him up for failure, to be honest with you. And I'm not here to bash the offensive line. I get it. I completely understand. I've been in the situation where you're doing everything that you possibly can. You're waking up early. You're getting in the cold tub. You're staying up late studying. You're missing time with your families. These guys are still suffering concussions. They're still getting bone bruises, and they're trying their butts off. I've been in that building. I saw them. They are preparing. They want to win badly. For whatever reason, it's just not happening. So we have to call it what it is. But if you take any quarterback, if you took Aaron Rodgers and put him behind that offensive line, like, he would lose his mind. You know, I saw quarterbacks throw guys out of games for missing blocking assignments. Daniel Jones doesn't have that ability. He doesn't have that capability. So what are we evaluating here? I mean, we could say, hey, Daniel, thanks for stopping by. You know, unfortunately, it didn't work out. But I don't think you can say, hey, Daniel Jones didn't get it done. He has not had the opportunity. We have not seen what he can do. We'll see. You know, a test of his character. Is he a guy who's going to stand in week in and week out and, you know, and get in the fire and try his hardest? And so far he has done that. So I think he's a big character guy. But I think to say that, you know, we can honestly evaluate him and his skill set based on what he's been given, I just don't see that being accurate.
This is New York Game Day on 98.7 ESPN.
Mike joins me and Matthias Kiwanuka. Mike, welcome in week one. Man, we are back. The band is back for New York Game Day. How you doing?
Good morning. Great to be with you guys. And it's like Christmas Day, right? It's opening day. Great to be with you guys. Looking forward to a lot of fun this year.
Thanks.
I said that. I said I do. I feel like it's Christmas Day. I feel like I just walked down the stairs. There's a ton of Christmas gifts underneath the tree, and I haven't opened them yet. I'm not going to open them until 1 o'clock. That's how it feels. And and again, Mike, really excited. Matthias Kiwanuka joins our team this season, so we're excited to have Matthias on the show.
Mike, good to have you on. How you doing?
Great. Good to be with you. And I'm getting old because I scouted you at Boston College and was much more concerned about whether you could zone drop versus host a radio show. But here we are. Looking forward to it.
We're both getting old. We're both a long way from that. But yeah, we're good.
I love it. I love it. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, we've got some specific segments for Mike Tannenbaum, GM Hot Topic, also Kiwi's Keys. We'll break into, we'll of course, circle back and do a deep analysis on, of course, the Giants and the Jets as they get ready for week one and their opponents. But guys, let's spend this segment talking about two of the biggest games today. And one in particular is the Cleveland Browns and the Kansas City Chiefs. Listen, with all the injuries, Mike, I want to start with you. With all the injuries that are going on with the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, the dudes are dropping like flies over there. I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Pittsburgh Steelers. A number of people have the Browns winning this division and going pretty far. And, of course, a number of people, majority of people out there who watch football, anticipate the Kansas City Chiefs to come back bigger and better than ever. Mahomes with a newly built toe and a newly designed offensive line. I'm excited for this. Is this the one game? If I was to say to you, Mike Tannenbaum, there's only one game you could watch today, would it be this Kansas City Browns game? Which game would it be?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's why. First of all, I'm really down the Steelers, and we'll have plenty of time to get into that. But I think they're going to be, I think they're going to struggle this year and be worse next year. But I think the division is certainly changing to Cleveland. I thought Baltimore would have been in that discussion, but I agree with what's happened recently. And to me, the game within the game that I'm really fascinated by is Kansas City's rebuilt offensive line. You know, most notably, you're going to have Orlando Brown coming over from the Ravens playing left tackle. They got a couple of rookies in Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma. They drafted a really interesting player in Trey Smith in the sixth round, who would have been probably a top 45 player, but for a very unusual medical situation. But I think they were able to work that out. So I'm fascinated to watch that against, to me, what Cleveland did. I think Andrew Berry, their GM, Kevin Stefanski, deserve a ton of credit, is when you have a weakness, you can either fill needs or attack it, and I think they've really attacked it. When you think about, you know, they added Jadeveon Clowney, and then from a draft choice standpoint, they drafted Greg Newsome. He was a first-rounder. They took Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in the second round from Notre Dame, who's kind of a little bit of a hybrid player. So I think the front seven of Cleveland against that rebuilt Chiefs line is going to be a great matchup to watch.
Now, when Mathias, you say you can either,
What are you looking for in that Browns-Kansas City game?
I'm looking for the ball to come out. You know, I'm looking for the ball to be down the field early and often. You know, when you talk about, you know, all the storylines that have been coming out, OBJ and whatnot, it's you know, it's time to put everything to the side and let's start playing some football.
Which, by the way, OBJ is going to be a game time decision, and you know, Mike, you know this as a general manager. Mathias, you know this as a former player. You know, no contact yet for OBJ at practice, all training camp. You know, I find it hard to believe, like, you go from no contact at all to thrown right into the firing pan against a Kansas City team that, you know, they're going to be physical. You have to be physical against OBJ right off the line of scrimmage. I'm kind of on the fence here. Like, I won't be shocked if he's inactive. What do you guys anticipate for Odell today?
No, I'll take this one first. There are certain positions that you can get away with going through training camp without having contact, in my opinion. I mean, corners and wide receivers is definitely one of them. I mean, you're talking more about explosion. You're talking about, you know, can they hit their routes? Can they hit their marks in stride? So I don't know that, you know, not having contact for an OBJ is the same as not having contact for a Saquon, somebody who's going to be hitting contact, you know, behind the line of scrimmage possibly. So I think as a receiver – going through training camp, I mean, I played with Plaxico Burress. I, you know, remember the whole no pay, no play thing, like where he was standing out there, and he was able to come in and take off right away. A lot of guys can do it. A wide receiver, in my opinion, does not need to have contact throughout the preseason to come out and be spectacular.
You know, I probably would have answered this slightly different before Thursday night, but I think what we saw Thursday night has to be somewhat instructive, which is, you know, Dak Prescott didn't play basically since, you know, what, week four of last year, had a catastrophic ankle injury, you know, then obviously has a lot of notoriety around that shoulder strain, so doesn't really get any work in camp, and goes out against a really, really good Tampa Bay front seven on the road, really loud, and plays flawlessly. So Odell Beckham's played wide receiver, you know, his whole life. It's certainly not ideal, but, you know, there is some continuity there because he's been with Baker Mayfield before, second year with Kevin Stefanski. So is it ideal? No. But the thing about Odell Beckham that, to me, like, we forget about is he doesn't need to make seven or eight catches. He just has to make the one or two plays in a game that could really flip it. So I don't think it's about how many plays he plays, but I think it's making those impactful plays.
Really quick before we move on to the Steelers and the Bills, do you guys anticipate an upset? Like, give me your probability, Mike, that you feel the Cleveland Browns could upset the Kansas City Chiefs today.
So I think this. I think in week one, I like Kansas City a lot because when healthy, it's hard to argue when you think about Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. But Kansas City's not as deep as they used to be, and that's just basically because more of the money is going to fewer of the players. Patrick Mahomes went from a rookie contract to $45 million a year, so guys like Sammy Watkins are going to graduate. So they have very little margin for error in terms of depth, but on opening day at full speed, it's hard to go against Kansas City.
Kiwi?
Yeah, no, I'm going to keep it simple. Nah, I think Kansas City's got this one. I don't see the Cleveland Browns, taking the upset on this one.
All right, Steelers and the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. Wow, what a great week one matchup here. We know what we get with the Buffalo Bills, right? Like year three for Josh Allen. I put money down on Josh Allen to win MVP. I've got the Bills winning the Super Bowl at 12-1. I'm all over this Bills team, right? And Mike, I know you and I are really big into the draft. I love the addition of Greg Russo, and I love Boogie Basham. Boogie Basham had to be one of my favorite defensive linemen coming out. That I feel that the Bills are going to get really, really great value where they drafted him. So their defensive line now has a lot more depth. I love this Bills team. Now for the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger decides to come back, and he's playing behind an offensive line. And actually, Kiwi, I want to go to you here. He's playing behind an offensive line with majority new guys. You know, and of course, as we know, offensive line continuity, you need some time to gel. It's really five guys. They're one unit. They're really one person. How hard do you think this is going to be, the transition, getting this offensive line geared up, especially against an excellent Bills defense? What do you expect from that offensive line from the Steelers today?
I think they have a lot in the working in their favor, you know, playing with Ben Roethlisberger. If there is a guy or a couple of guys in the league who can get a new offensive line together and get them to understand what it is he's trying to do and to also be able to compensate. So a guy who's been around the league for this long probably has the ability to make some changes. When a call comes into the huddle, guys know who is and who isn't likely to mess that play up, whether you're on offense or defense. When you're on defense and a call comes in, you know, because we've game planned multiple times during the week and we've seen this call and we've seen this one guy mess up. And I'm pretty sure it's the same thing for a quarterback on offense. So maybe he can make some adjustments or he can slide one way or the other to compensate for somebody he thinks may or may not make a mistake. But you know, like you said, it's a group mentality. Like, you're not going to put, you know, one or two players on an offensive line and all of a sudden make them better. You're going to have to get them to play together as a group. But having a guy like Ben Roethlisberger behind them gives them a lot of upside and gives them the ability to make it happen.
Mike, your thoughts about this matchup?
Yeah, so let me tell you guys a story. When we traded for Brett Favre when I was at the Jets, and he came in, he said, "Hey, Mike, I just want you to do one thing for me." I'm like, "Hey, Brett, we just made you a New York Jet. We're going to rename the George Washington Bridge after you, if that's what you want." He goes, "Get me a pass-protecting running back so I know that the person next to me knows what to do, when to stay in, when I'm hot, when to release for a check down." And I have been around aging quarterbacks, Brett Favre, Jay Cutler, Vinny Testaverde, and I worked with Dan Marino for 4 years. Dan Marino could still throw a football today. It's what sets them, what starts ending their careers is their inability to move. And when Ben Roethlisberger is an aging, speed-deficient 39-year-old quarterback with three new offensive line starters and a rookie running back who's extremely talented and great for fantasy football, he's going to get rid of the ball fast. Last year, they were 28th in the league in yards per pass attempt. And if I know that, I promise you that the Buffalo Bills defensive staff knows that. So here's what happens. The field comes compressed. All these behind-the-line-of-scrimmage plays are really ineffective because the spacing's screwed up. And he's going to have to hold the ball, push the ball down the field, and has to do that with three new offensive linemen. And I know how hard it is to replace one offensive lineman, not three. I think the best thing the Steelers have is they have a great coach in Mike Tomlin. They have a really good front seven led by T.J. Watt. But over the course of the season, I just don't see Ben Roethlisberger, who's made over $200 million in his career, sitting there wanting to get battered as this offensive line gets better. And that's why, like, the confluence of a young, inexperienced offensive line, a rookie running back, and last year we saw him get rid of the ball really fast. I think this is an offense that, to me, is going to be ineffective. And Pittsburgh, for the first time, has real question marks at the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's the one thing that I'm going to be paying the most attention to in this matchup is that offensive line and how Ben Roethlisberger is able. Listen, one thing about Ben Roethlisberger, you know, his pocket awareness is uncanny. You mentioned Dan Marino. It was one of the things that was most impressive to me about Dan Marino. I mean, pocket is folding. He just takes one step and he's a free man. And you see a lot of that in Ben Roethlisberger. So we'll see how that plays out. One more game I want to tee up for you guys, and that's Miami and the Patriots. Listen, you know, Kiwi, I know you're new to the show. Mike, you know how much I was all over Mac Jones. The fact that he fell to the New England Patriots, it was just unbelievable to me. I was telling people he was going to win the job over Cam Newton. You could have wagered on that, by the way. Hopefully people did, and you won some money. And like now the Mac Jones era begins today against the Miami Dolphins. And you know this Miami Dolphins team better than anyone. I think that they are going to be blitz crazy, trying to scheme up all kinds of different looks for Mac Jones to see how he processes. I don't have a play in this game. I'm just really excited to see it. I want to see how Mac Jones reacts to, I believe, a good Miami Dolphins defense and how they're going to scheme things up for him. But what are you most looking forward to? And how do you think Mac Jones is going to perform today, Mike?
Yeah, it's interesting, Anita. Everything you just said, I actually kind of feel like we're going to see on the other side of the ball. I'll get to that in a second. I think what we're going to see from Mac Jones is what we've seen for what we saw at Alabama, what we saw like when I was at the Senior Bowl, what we saw in preseason. He's going to be a guy that processes information really fast. He'll be comfortable with the check down. He's very accurate. And I think he'll be a guy that, you know, if I was guessing like 15 of 18 for 180 yards, I don't see him turning the ball over. You know, they have great special teams. Coach Belichick always puts a big emphasis on that. And to me, the interesting part of this game is I can't wait to see this Dolphin offense against the Patriot defense. You know, the Patriots really put a lot of resources. You know, when you think about Christian Barmore, second-round pick, getting Dante Hightower back, Matthew Judon, I think this defense, getting Kyle Van Noy back, ironically, from the Dolphins, this defense should be, I think, better than it was. And I'm fascinated to see Jalen Waddle and William Fuller, two young, explosive receivers for the Dolphins, against that Patriot defense.
Kiwi?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see Mac Jones out there also. I think the big storyline for me is, you know, Brian Flores, Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, you know, we all know what the greatest is. And we all know that he has an understanding of what his players can and cannot do, not just Mac Jones, but everybody else on that offense. So, you know, I think, you know, it'll be a lot of scheming, a lot of, you know, trying to outmatch the other side of the ball, and it'll just be a good matchup.
You know, another good game is the Packers and the Saints. Quickly, because we are up against a break, I just want to get your thoughts. I thought Taysom Hill was going to win the job. Sure enough, that's not what happened. It's Jameis Winston. I'm not upset with it. I'm excited to see, because I think now you can continue to use Taysom Hill in the way that Sean Payton utilized him with Drew Brees. But, you know, no Michael Thomas. What can we expect from Callaway? Tre'Quan Smith is going to be inactive. You know, does Harris step up? You know, I'm expecting a big game from Alvin Kamara. Mike, let's start with you. Your thoughts on how you think Jameis Winston is going to do this week against the Packers?
I think he's going to do really well, not only this week, but all year. And, you know, talking to people there, they're really high on Ian Book, and that's really significant because it allows Taysom Hill to be a jack-of-all-trades guy, which is really important without Tre'Quan Smith, without Michael Thomas. It's they need as many playmakers as possible beyond Kamara. So the fact that Taysom Hill could wear more hats and the fact that they think Ian Book has some developmental traits is really important. And I think if I'm Taysom Hill, that's good for him because that could extend his career because it allows him to be, you know, the versatile player he is. So I think Jameis Winston did an incredible job of investing in himself a year ago, and I think that he's going to play really well for them this year.
I love Taysom Hill. I'm just upset that we can't utilize him as a tight end in fantasy. I think that needs to change. Kiwi, let me ask you this. Of course, because of the hurricane, Saints now have to play this game in Jacksonville. Interesting little note here. They selected Jacksonville because they knew that that was the most difficult form of transportation for flights from Green Bay to Jacksonville. Apparently, that's why they chose Jacksonville. Very smart on their part. Considering that this is not a home game now for the Saints, you giving them any chance to upset the Packers in week one?
There is no shortage of information and a statistical analysis in the NFL. I think that is one of my biggest concerns. You know, it's difficult, you know, to play outside of your regular routine. Now, the tragedies that happened down in New Orleans, you know, my heart goes out to all of them, and especially for the guys, you know, whose families were affected. You know, when you're playing a game, you know, it still is a game. You still have to worry and be concerned about the people who are in your hometown, the people who are in your family. So I give them a little bit of a break when it comes to being distracted, you know, traveling outside of your regular home, you know, knowing that there's tragedy going on. It can either pull a team together, they can galvanize them, they can come out and they can, you know, storm the field and be ready to go to try to prove something and give something back to their home fans, or it could distract them a little bit. I'm hoping that it galvanizes them, but I am, you know, a little anxious to see what happens.
This is New York Game Day on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to New York Game Day here on 98.7 ESPN. Anita Marks, Matthias Kiwanuka, and joining us now is Rich Cimini, who I always say does a phenomenal job covering the Jets for ESPN. All right, first and foremost, Rich, let's dive into it because, I mean, I'm probably most looking forward to this game more than any other game this week. And I know that sounds crazy because, you know, we've got Kansas City and Cleveland. We've got the Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I'm fascinated by this game and all the storylines, right? Like Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson going up against their former team and the Jets saying, hey, don't let the door hit you on the butt on your way out. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, wow, week one, we're hosting the guy who took my job. I mean, you couldn't write a better script. I'm so looking forward to this. Kind of, you know, you got your finger on the pulse of this team. You've been covering this team all through training camp. Like, you know, are they talking about the narrative, the story behind the game, you know, in the locker room? Like how aware are they of, like, the story that I think is the best heading into week one?
Well, I mean, just speaking from a journalistic standpoint, we love it. You know, I mean, this is like the NFL handed this one on a silver platter to us. You know, we love storylines like this. And, you know, you pretty much nailed it with the narrative. You know, it's, you know, the old quarterback of the future versus the current quarterback of the future. And so it's going to be really interesting. You know, Sam is in a new offense, and I'm sure it'll take him some time to get comfortable. And the same for Zach Wilson. So I'm not sure we'll see the best of these players in week one because they're still going through some growing pains, but I still think it'll be an awesome matchup to watch.
I can't wait. Like I said, I know folks are out there going, what are you talking about, Anita? There's like Cleveland and Kansas City. There's, you know, the Bills and the Steelers. I'm more excited for this matchup than anything else. I really want to see what Zach Wilson can do. I mean, we heard the comments that Tony Romo made this week about Zach Wilson. I'm good friends with Chris Sims. Chris Sims is in love with the kid as well. With all due respect, I call him a kid. But, you know, I want to see him unscripted against defenses number ones. And here's another thing, Rich. I think a lot of people are underestimating how good this Carolina Panthers defense is. So, you know, what, like, is this going to be a rude awakening? Or do you think Zach Wilson is going to continue to shock and impress people like me?
Well, I mean, it's hard to predict. I mean, that's why they're playing these games. I wish I knew. I mean, he played pretty close to a flawless preseason. You know, he had no penalty, no pre-snap penalties, no three and outs, no turnovers. He wasn't even knocked down. I mean, so he hasn't even been hit yet in the NFL. But, you know, you have to put an asterisk next to it because he played against backups. He has yet to face a starting NFL defense. And you're right, Carolina, you know, they have three or four really, really good defensive players. You know, they have Brian Burns and Derek Brown on the defensive line. They got Jeremy Chinn at safety. And so they got some really good players. And so he'll be challenged for sure. I think going against the Jets defense, which is a 4-3, will help him, you know, because he'll see a 4-3 from Carolina. You know, he's going to make some mistakes. He's a rookie, but he seems like a pretty poised 22-year-old. You know, I think he's going to be really poised. I don't think he'll be rattled by the moment.
Let's talk about his supporting cast. What's going on with the offensive line? You know, Becton, not sure what the comments, stuff that he had to get through from the coaches. You know, what are your expectations for Becton today?
Yeah, that's a great question. Quite obviously, there's something going on with Mekhi Becton. I mean, Mike LaFleur who is a very measured speaker. He does not make comments that he doesn't mean. And he said a couple of weeks ago, you know, when he's in Green Bay, that, you know, Mekhi's going through some things and he's not playing his best. Now, when Mekhi was asked about that on Friday, he said he was confused by those comments and that he hadn't even talked to LaFleur to get a clarification, which kind of struck me as odd. Look, you know, this is a different scheme than he's used to, and he has struggled in this new scheme. It's an outside zone scheme. When the ball is snapped, you know, you don't maul the guy in front of you. You're moving. You're moving horizontally in, you know, to create the zone effect in blocking, and it's something different for Mekhi, and he, quite frankly, you know, he struggled with it. And I don't think the coaching staff is going to come out and rip him, but I think they've dropped enough breadcrumbs, you know, for us to pick up on that there's something, you know, they'd like to see him play a little bit better. Now, he did play well in the two preseason games. It was in the practices where he struggled, and he's going to have a tough assignment this weekend. And, you know, I would keep a close eye on Mekhi Becton in this game.
You know, it's interesting, and I've had this conversation with a lot of our callers, and they don't quite understand, you know, like, when it's a revolving door of coaches slash general managers, a lot of times, you know, you have a general manager who's been in place for a few years. He's drafted and has signed free agents to fit a certain scheme, offense and defense. And then all of a sudden, boom, you bring in a new head coach. He hires a new staff. It's a different scheme. The players that you've drafted don't necessarily fit that scheme. It happens all the time in the NFL. You're right. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he adjusts. And so my eyes will be on him as well. Let's stick on the offensive side of the ball. No Jamison Crowder, out because of COVID-19. Cole, game time decision because of a knee. Where do you see Zach Wilson's targets going to? How do you envision this playing out offensively, Rich?
Yeah, I see Corey Davis and Elijah Moore being the top two targeted players. You know, I think Davis and Wilson developed a real good chemistry in the preseason games. You saw that in the Green Bay game. They really connected a few times, even on some deep routes. You know, you're going to see those play action over routes that Davis really ran well in Tennessee. He's going to run those same routes in this offense. So those are like 15 to 20 yard gainers. And so I think you'll see some of those. Elijah Moore is just a really good player. You know, he's a rookie, and, you know, it'll maybe take him a minute or two to get going, but I don't expect him to be, awed by the NFL atmosphere. I think he's got a chance to be a really special player. And now, you know, who's their third target? Well, that's a good question. Without Crowder, I don't think the tight ends are going to be a huge part of this offense. Tyler Croft caught a couple of TDs in the preseason against Green Bay, so you have to watch for him in the red zone. I think he could be a factor. Trayvon Wesco, their fullback / tight end, is my pick for a sleeper this year on offense. No one's talking about him. No one's writing about him. And he's going to get a lot of playing time. They're going to use more two-back sets than most teams use, and he'll be that fullback. You'll see him also line up, you know, split out as a receiver, as a tight end. So he could be, he's a sneaky guy to watch, Trayvon Wesco.
Rich Cimini, join us here on 98.7 ESPN. On the defensive side of the ball, listen, in fantasy, in DFS, Rich, I'm using a lot of Sam Darnold this week because of that Jets secondary. I was reading your column the other day, right? It's a gaggle. I'll use the word gaggle. It's a gaggle of rookie corners and sophomore corners that in all of them that are on this roster were not drafted above round five. So,
yeah,
I mean, how are they going to defend anyone? What are your realistic expectations for the secondary this week?
Well, I have an interesting little note. So the combined salaries this year of all the seven cornerbacks on the Jet roster is about $7 million. There are 26 cornerbacks in the league who make more than $7 million just individually, you know. So that gives you an idea of just, you know, the level of talent, you know. And let me rephrase that. Not the level of talent, just the level of experience and the level of pedigree that, you know, the Jets are playing here. These, like you said, they're late-round draft picks. We're not talking about first or second-round picks. I think Brandon Echols will probably start opposite Bryce Hall, and then you're going to see either Javelin Guidry or Michael Carter II in the slot. These are all first and second year players, and you know they're going to have some great plays with their athleticism, but they're also going to get torched at times because of their inexperience. So it's going to be a roller coaster.
CJ Mosley, again, I got this from your column, hasn't played football in 693 days. Like a legit regular season game.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been since the Patriot game in 2019 where he re-injured his groin. So, you know, he'll be rusty. You know, obviously he did play a lot in the preseason. I think he played 40 or 50 snaps in the preseason, not quite the same as regular season in terms of tempo. So, you know, you might see him get out of position on a tackle or early, and especially trying to tackle Christian McCaffrey, who can make a lot of people, you know, look silly. So, you know, but CJ looked good in camp. He dropped a lot of weight. He's down to about 230 or so. I think he'll be much more aggressive in this scheme. You have to be better in this scheme in space. He's going to be a target in pass coverage, though. I'm curious to see how he handles that. If he's on McCaffrey, you know, it could be a rough day for the Jets.
Again, Rich Simini joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. He's got a great podcast out called Flight Deck. How can people tune into that, Rich?
Yes, it's on any of the ESPN platforms. Basically, wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, ESPN, pretty much anywhere. And, you know, we preview the season this week. And, of course, we preview the Darnold Bowl in this week's episode.
Before I let you go, give us a prediction. How do you see this playing out? What's the final score?
Yeah, so I see the Panthers winning this game 31-24. Which is over, I think the over-under is about 44. So I'm thinking, you know, I think the offenses might catch fire just because the defenses are so young, and I think the Jets might have to play a little catch-up in this game. So I think you might see some pretty good stats from Zach Wilson. But, you know, on the road, young quarterback, the Jets are going to have 8 rookies playing prominent roles in this game, which is kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. So I just think the inexperience catches up with them a little bit here, so I'm giving the edge to Carolina.
Rich, thank you so much. Great job as always.
This is New York Game Day on 98.7 ESPN.
Austin Ekeler, it will be a quote-unquote full go against the Washington football team. Yeah, thank God. I don't know about you. I play in 12 fantasy football leagues. I drafted him in like 8. So I'm expecting a big year from Austin Ekeler. Also, Adam Schefter reporting that Odell Beckham Jr. will be a quote-unquote game-time decision. He limited at practice all training camp. Wasn't touched. Wasn't poked by a pinky. So we'll see what happens. I guess he's going to go out, warm up, do the OBJ, back in zone, one-hand grabs, see how he feels, and make a decision whether or not he's going to play. So you definitely want to stay tuned around 11 a.m. As we know, the active-inactive list is reported, and you want to make sure that I'll be honest with you, fantasy football folks out there, I wouldn't play OBJ today. I just wouldn't. You know, I'd rather play People Jones over OBJ today. Just my 2 cents. And last but not least, Saquon Barkley. Ian Rappaport's reporting that Saquon will be quote-unquote used sparingly. Okay? What'd I say? Pitch count. Sparingly. I love Devontae Booker. I think Devontae Booker could be a sneaky good flex play. You could probably get him for like less than, what, $4,000 on DFS. Just FYI. With that being said, Mike and Matthias Kiwanuka, let's dive into, circle back. Of course, Kiwi and I talked about the Giants and the Jets a little bit earlier on the show. Mike, this is our first opportunity to kind of dive into these matchups. And let's start with the Giants. No, again, Saquon Barkley going to be on a pitch count. Offensive line, a lot of question marks there. Health-wise with Kenny Golladay, Kadarius Toney feeling the effects post-COVID. What are your realist expectations for this Giants? And so much is made about this has to be Daniel Jones's year. So much is being made about that. What are your realist expectations for the Giants, their offense today against this Denver Broncos defense, Mike?
Yeah, it's a great matchup. I think this Broncos defense is pretty good. I don't know if they get enough credit nationally, both from a personnel and scheme standpoint with Vic Fangio. But look, you know, Dave Gettleman's been criticized in this town for a while now on some of his picks, but I think they had a great offseason. When you think about, again, when you look at needs a team has, like, I don't think they fill needs. I thought they attack needs, you know. And look, a guy like John Ross is hurt right now. But I thought, like, some of the depth they went out to get will really be, you know, meaningful at some point during the season. So, like, just, like, starting at receiver, right, we're trying to develop a young quarterback in Daniel Jones. John Ross, he gets hurt, right? But they go out, they spend a lot of money on Kenny Golladay. They draft Kadarius Toney. We talked a lot last year. Darius Slayton, to me, somewhat of an underrated player. Sterling Shepard, very solid. Look, Evan Ingram's hurt today, but they went out. They also got Kyle Rudolph. So I think if I'm Daniel Jones and I look to my left and to my right, I think they did everything within reason to help. And we've obviously talked a lot about the offensive line. Andrew Thomas needs to play better. I thought he would have by now. You know, Soldier's back. We'll see how much he has left in the tank. But this offensive line, they put a lot of resources over the years into it. I think they'll play better. And this is a big test for them today.
Yeah, no, I like as far as offseason goes, I really like the addition of Kyle Rudolph. I think at that position, having somebody with some age and some experience is going to really be beneficial. I stayed in my lane when it comes to this game and was really looking at, you know, the defensive line and how they are performed. So we'll get to that a little bit later on in the segment. But as far as additions go, I think the Kyle Rudolph addition, that to me was the one that stood out the most.
Yeah, I think Kyle Rudolph is going to be utilized, you know, to help with that offensive line. And really that pass attack that we're going to see from the Denver Broncos. I think the way that you beat the Denver Broncos, or at least is, you know, try to control time of possession is, and I think their weakest link, and again, Kiwi, really interested to hear what you have to say in our next segment, our Kiwi Keys. We're going to break this down is through the interior of that defensive line for the Denver Broncos. Curious if you agree or disagree with me there. Mike, let's talk about the Jets. The biggest storyline, obviously, is not only, there's so many storylines here. I said this earlier this week. I'm probably more excited about this Jets-Carolina Panthers game than any of the other games we've been discussing, right? I know the big games are the Browns in Kansas City and the Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers, but, man, the storylines behind here, I'm a huge fan of Sam Darnold. I just love the young man. He's such a good egg. I want to see him do well. I love Matt Rhule. He's one of my favorite head coaches. I'm a closet Carolina Panthers fan, so maybe my heart is on the shelf here, but you know, I'm calling it the Sam Darnold Bowl, going up against his former team. But meanwhile, on the opposite side, you've got Zach Wilson wanting to make a splash, already a lot of love throughout the NFL community. We heard what Tony Romo said about him this week. But this is his debut on the road with a new young head coach in Robert Saleh as well. What are your expectations for this matchup?
Yeah, I don't think he has to make a splash, Anita. I think he just has to play the position. And look, he looked in the preseason. I liked him coming out. I don't think the game's too big for him. I thought he processed well, but make no mistake about it. Like, he didn't see anything compared to what he'll see today, and I expect him to play well. I'm very curious to see how this offensive line plays. You know, Van Roten was a guy that was up and down for them a year ago, but I think Vera Tucker was a great signing. Fant needs to play more consistent, and, you know, Becton didn't have a great training camp. So I think up front will go a long way because I think this Panther front seven's pretty good. And I think if I'm Zach Wilson, I just got to be able to end, you know, Brian Schottenheimer, our offensive coordinator, when we had Mark Sanchez, he always had a great line. He said, hey, just end every drive in a kick. Obviously, you hope it's an extra point, field goal, or even a punt. And I think that's the mindset that Zach Wilson has to have, which is you have some really good playmakers on the outside with the Jets haven't had in a number of years, but Corey Davis, Elijah Moore should be a really good player. Obviously, Crowder's out, but he'll be a guy that can contribute this year. So play the position, make first downs, don't worry about scoring touchdowns.